This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
April 21st is here, friends. It's This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert, Armand Kachigian with you. And we're brought to you by audible.com and by amazon.com. Whenever we have a book recommendation for you to listen to or read, we will tell you how to get there through our website, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. The events, the birthdays, the deaths, they're all coming your way. But, you know, on this show, we strive for exactitude. So, as always, I asked Armand, is there any house cleaning to take care of?
I don't think so.
Hey!
I think we were exact.
We had exactitude on April 20th. Very good.
Or maybe just apathy on April 21st, because I didn't look at it.
That could be too.
Yeah.
In 753 B.C.
E.
Romulus founds Rome.
Yeah, what happened to Remus?
I was going to ask you this.
Suckling on a she-wolf. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe it's a wolf's name.
This is the traditional date of the founding of Rome.
Yeah. I don't know where they came up with this, but
they threw a dart at a calendar and said April 21st.
Yeah.
Tax season was over. And they had time to find a city. How do you found a city?
His Eminence, the Argentinian Pope celebrating this somehow, I wonder?
I don't know. Probably.
Sacramental wine.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You ever been to Rome?
Enacting some sort of socialist measures.
You ever been to Rome?
No.
It's a wonderful city.
Been to Rome, Georgia.
Yeah, it's a nice city, too. You can get a lot of carpet down in Rome, Georgia.
I was looking for the Spanish Steps and the Colosseum.
Yeah, you're not going to have much luck. You can get some good high school
Flavian
football, though.
Colosseum. All right.
It's 1509 on this date. Henry VIII. Guess what he does? Oh, he becomes king!
Sends, yeah, well, that's because Henry VII died, I believe, to Henry Tudor. Henry VII died natural causes, I believe. Should have died in battle like any other.
Like any other good, proper king.
Yeah, the only way for...
Leading the charge.
Firing squad, or crossbow squad. Anyway, Henry Tudor, Henry, and this is his son, Henry VIII.
Now, was Henry VIII married at this point, or did he go and find himself?
No, actually, I think... let's see. Maybe because when his brother Arthur was married to Catherine of Aragon, which is the excuse he used to get a divorce.
Yes.
Because, you know, his brother was married to her, so.
Yeah, that ain't going to work.
Yeah. But nobody had a problem with it. Arthur died young, and then Henry took it because Arthur was older. Mm-hmm. He should have been king.
How come he wasn't?
Because he died.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Should have been
king. He wasn't as stout as Henry VIII. Henry VIII was wrestling and keeping himself in
Henry
shape.
Wasn't really prepping to become king, was he, until all of a sudden the tables
it
turned.
It was nice. Yeah. Boy.
What a great life you have if you're the number two.
I know. Who wants to be king? You're better off being, you know, well, like, what's his name? Prince of Wales. What has that guy done his whole life?
Who? Andrew?
No.
Charles?
Charles, man.
Well, he's going to be king.
I doubt it. She'll probably outlive him.
That'd be something.
It's happened before.
That'd be something.
I wouldn't put it past her, man.
Yeah, she's in good shape, man.
It's her birthday, too.
Yeah, it is. Queen Elizabeth. We'll get to the birthdays.
Is she on here?
I left her off because I knew it was coming.
Boy.
I left her off because I knew it was coming.
All right.
Rupert.
You get the stupid.
What do you get the Queen of England for a birthday present? We'll talk
Barack
about that
Obama
later.
Gave her, a tape of his best speeches. Good choice. Well, that's what he gave her. Jackass.
God, that's odd.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, that's just odd.
Even by his standards. Yeah. That's what he gave her. Do you know that? A CD with my best speech.
Here, enjoy
is that
Queen.
The height of egotism?
It's a little...
Give him a new picture of himself.
All right. Anyway,
an egotist.
Good old Henry. Oh, he is, but still, that's
can you be in politics without being an egotist? Let's go to ask our friend Jay.
It'd be pretty hard.
Yeah,
it'd be pretty hard.
Who would subject themselves to it anyway?
You wouldn't serve yourself very well. I would think. I moved to 1914, Armand, where a little incident occurs where a shipment of German arms is intercepted on the way to Mexico by the United States Navy near Veracruz.
Okay. I've never heard of this.
You've never heard of this incident?
Ipiranga incident.
The Ipiranga incident.
Well,
because, you know, there was conjecture about Germany and the,
well, the Zimmerman
and
telegram.
The Zimmerman telegram.
Shit. Right. I don't know. I think that was British Secret Service. I don't know. Still, stay the hell out of that war. Oh, by the way, speaking of World War One, I saw The Promise last night.
Yes.
It didn't lack for spectacle. I'll give it that much. They spent some money. It looked good. It looked very good.
Okay.
Thought the dialogue was a little stilted. You know, you got lines like, "I am with child." I mean, that's, you know,
maybe
I'm knocked up.
Maybe that's how they said it then.
I don't think so. It still did. There were many lines like that, but it's a pretty good movie. It's, you know.
Yeah. It's about the Armenian genocide.
Right.
About a love triangle as well.
Yeah.
And it opens in theaters today. Our friends at Armenia Proud. Arman is Armenian. He's not on the show, Armenia
is
Proud.
He, is he proud?
Because he's not proud.
Armenia ashamed.
Yeah. But John O'Kabingian here at lineupmedia.fm does the Armenia Proud show.
I'm proud of my heritage.
And John had the producer of The Promise on. And if you want to catch that, folks, we highly recommend. It's a great interview this week. You can find it at armeniaproud.com, and it's right there for you with the producer of The Promise, Chris Lakin, his co-host. He and John interview the producer. It's a great interview. I've listened to it. Really informative.
I've been benched, by the way, on that show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Which show is that? Armenia
down,
Proud?
Sent? No, no. On Ocho
Oh, the Man. Other show.
I've been sent down to Tacoma to the minor leagues.
Well, we'll have to listen to Behind the Eight Ball now that you're not on it.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Yeah. Well, go to behindtheeightball.com if you don't want to hear Armand. Now, this next guy I've got in the events that happened today.
Wait a minute. The Battle of San Jacinto.
Okay, the Battle of San Jacinto.
1832. That's a pretty big battle.
It's a big battle.
Santa Ana. Do you know where Santa Ana's leg is? You know, his wooden leg?
Mm.
I didn't know this.
I have no idea.
Springfield.
Illinois?
Yeah.
Why?
Some military museum up there. That's where they put it.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But anyway, this is Sam Houston kicked his ass.
Good.
Captured him.
Good.
And he groveled and gave up.
Sure.
You know, because he was afraid they're going to execute him.
They should have.
So, yeah, I know. Remember the Alamo, you know, remember Goliad?
What year was that again?
Massacre?
1838?
1832.
1832. It's before the Alamo.
That can't be right then. Because they were saying remember the Alamo, so.
Yeah, Alamo's 1836, correct?
I say, maybe I wrote that. Maybe it could be. Well, I'll look it up.
Armand, right. You strive for exactitude, yet you missed the mark. Let me tell you, though, one of the big ones we're going to talk about today is an ace
1836.
With, okay, there, that.
Oh, that is a six.
That is correct. Okay, now you are in compliance with the dates. The German ace, Manfred von Richthofen, better known as the Red Baron.
Because of his red Fokker triplane.
Beautiful plane, by the way. I mean, you got a hand. They
He's
had
a beautiful guy. You see his picture?
Yeah. Oh, he's a handsome dude. There's no doubt. He is shot down and killed over Vaux-sur-Somme. Do I have that one right?
Somme. I don't know.
Vaux-sur-Somme in France on this date, the 21st of April. Now, he would get his final two kills, number 79 and numbers 80. Who knows how many he really got? Because basically, at that point in time, even through World War II, kills are.
Yeah.
You don't know. You just, you know, you need someone to verify that they've seen it. You could
Let's just say he was pretty damn good.
He was damn good. You could riddle a plane with bullets, it could fly away and crash out of your eyesight. You don't know if you shot it down or not.
Yeah, he was in that. Goering was in his outfit.
Yeah.
And I think that Immelmann, Max Immelmann or whatever the guy is.
They had tremendous pilots.
Immelmann turn and all that stuff.
Tremendous pilots.
Yeah. I think Immelmann took over for him and then Goering took over for him after. But I did look it up and I think they're pretty much established because I think somehow he managed to land his plane even after he was shot.
And then bled they, out.
Yeah. And his last words were a good one. Kaput.
Kaput.
It's very fitting,
man.
If you ask me.
I mean, that's
apparently look, from the angle of the bullet, though, that they got out of him or whatever, or somebody went to all the trouble to find this out. He was shot down probably by anti-aircraft
ground fire.
Yep, from the ground. So the guy that claimed to get him didn't get him.
Oh, you mean aerial-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some British pilot claimed to get him, but apparently he was diving low to save his cousin.
Okay.
Who was getting strafed. Not strafed, but somebody was on his tail.
Right.
And he went down to save him, and he kind of, you know, shooed that guy off him.
Right. Yeah,
stop with camel.
But because he descended to such a point.
Low, yeah. And somebody shot him from the ground. So that's how they got him.
I mentioned
him an undefeated season. He's still undefeated.
I thought he'd been shot down before.
Yeah, but he's still, as long as he's flying, he's okay.
No. But here's part of the myth.
Oh, wait a minute.
Here's part of the thing. Armand.
Yeah.
Many aces have actually been shot down. They just survived and got back in the next plane.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know.
He's still undefeated.
No, that's a defeat.
No, it isn't.
What do you mean
you're
it's not?
You're defeated when you get killed.
That's BS.
Well,
I'm sorry, that's BS.
That's how you say it.
No.
What if your plane conks out? What if you have engine trouble?
Engine trouble.
All right.
No one put a hole in your cylinder.
You got a hole in your cylinder, brother.
Yeah, your cylinder's only firing firing on 7.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe not even that.
My car is misfiring, I'll tell you that.
No, man. I'm
sputtering down the highway.
It would have been fascinating, I think, to talk with these pilots of this era.
Well, you and your fascinating.
No, it really.
You want to have dinner with this guy?
Yes.
Too?
Yes.
I'd rather have dinner with the Star of Africa. The guy got laid all the time in World War II.
Oh, yeah. No, I still think you should make a movie on that guy.
Yeah. I like him.
Yeah. Because that is high romance at the.
No, I got an idea on that. I don't think you can make a movie about a Nazi ace, but you can make something similar.
Yeah. Well, again, throw the fact. The courage of these pilots.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Eric Hartman last week.
Seriously.
350 kills.
The courage of these pilots in that era, 100 years ago, during World War I, basically flying in balsa wood and cloth.
Well, these guys were like modern-day knights, and that's what they considered themselves. You know, they salute you when they shoot you down. You know,
respect.
Watch the Dawn Patrol.
Yeah.
And if you, a lot of times they saved each other and stuff. I mean, the enemy. And
yeah, they'd
like
go
that.
And land.
Yeah.
And pick you up.
Yeah.
I mean, almost, really, Armand, chivalry, right?
Yeah. A lot more honorable than you. You'd probably strafe me.
No,
I
wouldn't. I'd land and pick you up.
Yeah,
and here's
land,
what happened.
You'd land,
I'd
and
land
hit me with your propeller. That's
I'd
what
land.
You'd do.
I'd pull up next to you. Then
savage.
You'd shoot me and take my plane.
That's what I do, yeah. Well, they're not like the Japanese who wait till you parachute and then strafe you while
that's
on
awful.
Your way down.
Mm-hmm.
That was neat, huh?
Well, anyway.
Remember Flying Tigers?
Yes.
That's how they got black?
Yes. That's how they got. Oh, my God. Yeah. Still makes
me
upset.
John Wayne warned him.
I know the Duke said, and I know.
Don't wait till you get way out of the, you know.
Yeah, pull
down.
That chute late.
Yep. Once you knew that warning was coming, you knew that was coming.
Well, the Red Baron, rest in peace,
right.
Died on this date 99 years ago.
Okay.
Well, and again, I know he killed Americans, but still.
Mostly French.
Mostly French. Some English, I imagine, but mostly French.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there, you know, he survived a long time. It's part of the problem. They didn't send this guy off to flight training school to train more to be like him.
Or no, she sent him back to be in parades and stuff like they wanted to do with Boeington.
Yeah, yeah, the propaganda machine.
Right, that's what you need him for.
1934. This is a good one. This is a good one for our friends at Surreal Talk, Eric and Everett Hicks. The most famous photo, allegedly. Showing one of the greatest monster myths ever is published for the first time in the Daily Mail. Now, in 1999, this would be revealed to be a complete hoax, but it's called the Surgeon's Photograph,
yeah.
And of course, it's of the Loch Ness Monster.
It took 65 years to figure out this was phony. Come on. Well, apparently this was engendered by the craze at that time. You know, what movie had just come out
in 34?
Well, 33, and it was
33,
late 33. Oh. King Kong. So everybody,
oh, yeah. So something big and prehistoric. Yeah, yeah.
So
okay.
This guy cashed in on that craze.
It's fabulous.
Smart, yeah.
Now,
I mean, there's going to be a lot of phony stuff going on today. Believe me, I got some big ones.
Piltdown
Man, heard of him?
Yeah.
The guy's like took the head of an ape and put the jaw of an ape on it.
Uh-huh.
Man's head.
Yeah.
Not another phony.
Yeah. It's great for Loch Ness, first of all, because it engenders tourism. Wherever there is something sighted of a monster, It's always because...
Yeah, Sasquatch.
It's always because basically the local Chamber of Commerce has come together and said, what can we do, fellas?
Yeah,
anybody got any ideas? Someone raised their hand. How about a giant hairy ape runs around? And someone in Scotland got the great idea. It'd be really good if some sort of dinosaur could come out of this lake and we could book a lot of hotel rooms and a lot of charter cruises and a lot of lunches by the lakeside. Great idea.
Yeah.
You know what? I commend them. It's smart.
Wasn't there
good
recently,
business.
Didn't they recently see a Cyclops in downtown Edwardsville?
Did they really?
We had to investigate that.
We should.
Come on.
You know what? You're right.
You can look. I heard
about this. A Cyclops sighting just two blocks away from here.
Right next to the...
Very scary.
Right next to the hippogriff.
They think the thing lives in the dumpsters or something.
Yeah, it's just...
Huh.
By the chimera.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've spent enough
on.
If we want to discuss a phony, we'll go into global warming. Okay.
No, just stop it. Stop it.
It's a hoax.
It's a great hoax, though.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. Al Gore's.
No. The
guy's wonderful.
The Loch Ness Monster hoax
is
great. We'll cover Bigfoot on another show.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Bigfoot because it's so fake.
We'll
it's wonderful.
Gut, Al Gore.
But I'd love to go to Loch Ness, but I don't even know that's the best loch to go to in terms of scenery. There's a whole bunch of them. What makes Ness so popular?
We got a levee right next to us. Go to those locks. Or go to Master Lock. See how they make those things. Go and they let you shoot it with a rifle.
That's fun. Yes. That's good. That's good.
I'm convinced.
Yeah.
I still got my locker broken into.
I need that lock.
Okay.
What you didn't realize is if they could shoot through the lock, they could shoot through the door that it was locking.
Yeah, I just remember my buddy used to just pull the damn door open.
Wasn't that the dumbest thing?
Lockers, they just pulled the door open.
Yeah. Yeah, you can shoot through it and it'll still hold. Yeah, or I could aim slightly to the left and just shoot through the damn door and blow that off. Then the lock won't be a problem.
Or I can get some channel locks and just break the damn. Or I can pick it with a bobby pin.
Yeah, that too. 1952, Secretary's Day is first celebrated. Can you imagine what being a secretary would have been like in the 1950s? Boy, I can imagine you in the 1950s, Armand.
Boy.
Come here and take some dictation, Toots.
Yeah, I would have. That sexual harassment probably would have been in jail.
Yeah, you would have been in trouble. You would have been in trouble.
In college, passes.
But you probably watched Mad Men and just were like, this.
I don't watch that show, but my college days were.
You would have loved it.
I was a rapist.
No, you weren't.
Statute of limitations is over.
1962, Seattle World's Fair gave us a Space Needle.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
There.
It's still there. 1964, New York World's Fair opens on this date. That was the one out at Flushing Meadows. My dad went to that World's Fair. Globe is still out there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Globe is still out there.
What was the one in, was it 39?
39 was a big one in New York as well. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. All right, let's take a look at who was born here on this date.
Yeah, I love this first one. One of my favorite guys. I think I've talked about him before, but you've probably forgotten.
Oh, no. That's why I put him down.
Okay.
Yeah.
John Law. This guy. Somebody ought to write a movie about this dude.
Why don't you?
I don't know. Because I hate him.
Well, let's tell everyone. 1671, Scottish economist.
Economist.
Well.
That's being very generous.
Yeah, that's...
All right. Well, this guy's got the great notion, and he presaged Keynes, who we'll be discussing today, too. You know, what do you need silver and gold for? Money, in and of itself, is just... basically built on trust.
It's a medium of barter.
Yeah, well, it's built on the trust of the nation.
Sure. So you could give wood chips.
So he went, you don't need anything, really. Yeah, what do you need? Paper's fine. Paper's great because it just represents your trust in the government.
Mm.
So he tried to foist this upon Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
He's a couple hundred years before Loch Ness Monster. This guy's trying to pull off another hoax. Anyway, he should have stuck with that and taken a picture of Nessie. But they said, get the hell out of here. You're an idiot. So where does he go? Where do all con men go and get trusted?
Russia.
No, better even than that.
Paris.
France. Yeah. 50 million Frenchmen can always be wrong. So Louis XIV just died. Him and his war.
That's the Sun King, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Le Roi du Soleil.
Du Soleil.
And anyway, he's dead, and the country's in ruins, basically, because he's been fighting wars off and on for 40 or 70 years. So anyway, what are they going to do? Well, this guy gets the Duke of Orléans, who's the new king, I guess, or in charge of the government, and he convinces him this works. So they establish a bank.
You can put in, you can put deposit your tax money in here, and he's taking all these investments. So what does he take with this money? No silver necessarily, right? One quarter silver, but it's basically not backed by anything,
right?
Except, hey, we got a lot of land out there around the Mississippi, out in the New World. Nobody knows what the hell that is.
How'd you like some of it?
Let's sell shares in it, right? We'll back it with land in
right.
the New World.
Yep.
What do you got? A big bubble. And I'm telling you what, I was just reading a book. In fact, I'll tell everybody because it's great. It's on Kindle. You can get it on Amazon. It's by a guy named McKay.
McKay.
I was just reading it. Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds.
Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds.
Right, by Charles McKay.
Yeah,
and the first chapter is on this guy.
That's great. I love it.
You wouldn't believe what people were doing to get shares from this.
Oh, I believe it.
He's living large in Paris.
Of course
he
is.
People are attacking him, begging him. Women are throwing themselves at him.
Yes.
To let them buy shares.
Let me buy
so
shares.
Run it up, run it up, run it. Livre is the before the franc or the sou, the livre. So this thing's getting up. At first, he's selling shares like 300 livres, and then it goes up to 1,000, 3,000, 5,000. People just got to get in on this thing. What do you call that?
A bubble.
Absolutely. And it breaks.
Of course it does.
This guy gets away, fortunately for him, in Brussels. A lot of people that finance this were beaten to death.
Armand, let me share a secret. Let me share a secret with you. The laws of physics apply to the laws of economics in this case.
No kidding.
All bubbles must burst.
Yes. Well, nature abhors a vacuum, too. But anyway, so this guy gets out of town, goes to Brussels, dies in England, a pauper. But apparently a pretty good gambler and card player.
Of course he is. He understood odds.
Yeah, he did know his probability.
That's why. That's exactly why.
But economist. Yeah, so there you
that's
go.
That's a generous title.
Yeah, that's being very kind.
How about a long con man?
Yeah, how about a grifter?
Long con grifter.
Yeah.
So certainly not a short-term play if you're going to convince a whole nation that you can work on paper money.
Yeah, but they were French. So
look, it's going to happen to someone. Okay.
Well, he had the tulip bubble, and then he had this one.
Right. It's going to happen to someone. 1816, Charlotte Bronte. Happy birthday,
woman.
Charlotte.
She's the only one that really lived very long. She lived at 38, wanted to have a kid. She's pregnant and dies.
She tried a sort of a later stage birth. Yeah, as you say, 38. She dies.
Yeah, hyperemesis gravidarissum.
Right.
That means she's throwing her guts out.
Yeah,
throwing up her guts.
The medical care, not
drinking her water, taking her Gatorade,
nope.
And she dropped dead. But, you know, everybody should read Jane Eyre. It's a pretty damn good novel. Apparently she was a governess herself.
Which Jane Eyre movie do you prefer?
The one with, what's her name? Olivia de Havilland. So
yeah.
Joan Fontaine.
And
Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Was, what's his name?
It's solid. It's a classic.
Rochester, right?
Yeah. 1838, John Muir born, the Scottish-American environmentalist. Now, I know you don't like the environment, Armand, but
that's
you can
correct.
Like this
yeah.
guy.
Well, let's pollute.
You can like this guy. He was also
right.
an author.
He if took you, pretty pictures.
If you've ever – no, that's – you're thinking of Ansel Adams. Okay? That's who you're thinking
well,
of?
He's a dummy, too.
No, he's not.
Well, this guy's the guy who went roaming around Yosemite, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did. Right. He did.
Well, he took pictures, didn't he?
He may have. I don't know. He's born in 1838, so it's possible. I'm sure he had a camera at some point.
Picture of Loch Ness and Sasquatch?
No, he didn't.
King Kong?
No, he didn't. Now, here's the thing. Here's how I know Bigfoot ain't real.
And the Kragan?
These guys.
Release the Kragan.
The Kraken.
Fuck you. All right, go ahead.
That's hilarious. If you've ever been to Muir Woods north of San Francisco, actually north of Sausalito, go across the Golden Gate Bridge, keep going north, you'll see the signs. It's really one of the most tranquil places you can ever hike through. It's just gorgeous.
Who wants to hike through a tranquil place?
You should.
I want to go to Vegas. Or Chicago. I want to hear gunshots.
Well, that's you.
You and your stupid Sierra Nevadas. This guy was another.
I love it.
Him and Thoreau, a bunch of...
Oh,
screwballs.
No, they communed with nature, Armand, while you commune
with
non-Filipino blackjack dealers.
Ladies of easy virtue.
1887, Joe McCarthy, good American ball player and manager.
Yeah, of the Bronx Bombers.
That's right. Now, here's a name I always heard as a kid, had no idea who he was, but for some reason.
A junior.
I always
you're
heard
a
him
son.
As. Yeah, I heard about his son, right?
Yeah, he was on the FBI. He was an actor.
Yeah. But his dad. Senior Ephraim Zimbalist Sr. What a great name.
Yeah, he's a conductor.
What a great name. Ephraim Zimbalist, Jewish American, also of Russian descent, a violinist, composer, and conductor, born in 1889.
Jewish, Russian, American. Hey, listen, how many ethnicities can you have, huh? The guy's a Jew, okay? That's it.
Yeah, but if he's from Russia, that
okay,
was...
Okay, now he's an American, too.
Well, he immigrated from Russia.
Yeah. And he visited France, so he's French.
No, right? He's not.
He's Belgian.
No,
like
no,
Hercule Poirot.
No, 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 no.
This guy's a Jew.
Are you voting in the French election on Sunday?
I'd love to. Marie Le Pen, baby.
I knew you were going to say.
Get out of the Euro.
Either
Frexit. Both of them want to get out.
Dude, either way, we've had an exchange.
Malachon?
Yes. Armand, calm down. You're very excited about Frexit.
Don't make me say F you again.
You're very excited about Frexit. Either way. That this goes, because I believe both candidates that'll be moving on to the runoff.
Well, who's it going to be? Her and Mélenchon?
Yeah. France will be Frexiting.
I hope so, man. All right with me.
1914.
Let it crumble.
Angelo Savoldi.
I've never heard of this guy.
Okay, I was going to ask you. Italian-American wrestler and promoter. The good wrestling or the bad wrestling?
The shit wrestling.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Hold on. Got to plug in for this next one.
Turnbuckle.
God almighty, is this one of my favorites.
This guy?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
He's got a nice toupee.
Yes, he does. 1935.
You barely notice.
This actor is born, and I think for both of these actors you're about to hear from.
Now, wait a minute. I'm gonna get, because I don't know what you're going to play.
You know what I'm going to play.
Except it's going to annoy me.
No, it's not.
But it's going to be, what is it going to be, Midnight Run?
Yes, of course it's going to be Midnight Run.
That's a bad scene.
And this
know.
Is this is right. my
Make it quick.
My favorite scene from Midnight Run.
Oh, no, come on.
Charles Grodin.
Are killers.
Robert De Niro.
So, not the right woman. My wife and I have a wonderful
This life. Is acting, Armand.
She stuck it out with me through all of this.
Yeah, stuck it out with you and all your millions. What a trooper.
I don't have millions, Jack. I gave it all to charity, remember?
You didn't keep just a little for yourself, John?
I kept enough to get away and stay hidden.
Yeah, right.
You know, when we change buses in Chicago, you're going to have a couple hours. I think you would be a better man if you used that time to look up your ex-wife and daughter. It's a perfect opportunity.
Brian, why don't you mind your own business?
Let me ask you this. Why is it you haven't seen them in 9 years?
It's like you and I on a bus.
Just to get you off my back,
God.
I'll tell you why.
You'd be flying off the bus.
And I'm not very popular with the Chicago Police Department, okay?
Why aren't you popular with Chicago Police
that's
Department?
That's a holiday. What, do we know each other?
Why? What did you do? Why aren't you popular with Chicago Police Department?
Well, something that really doesn't concern you.
She hurt you, Jack?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about?
I'm sorry you're hurt.
I'm not hurt.
You just said you were hurt.
I'm not hurt.
You just said you were hurt.
I didn't say I was hurt. You said I was hurt.
I asked you if you were hurt, and you said, yeah, I'm hurt.
That's because you made me say. You're starting to put words in my mouth.
Jack, you're a grown man. You have control over your own words.
You're goddamn right I do. So here come two words for you. Shut the fuck up.
I love it.
How many words was that?
Four. I can watch Midnight Run over and over.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
And I think you could play the De Niro part, and I could just needle you the entire time as Charles Grodin. 1947, Iggy Pop born. 1951, Tony Danza.
Boy, he's getting old.
Do you ever remember the time he hosted The Tonight Show? Because he did it one time.
Oh, I'll bet.
And it would
go well.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like a kind of guy who could spout out an ad-lib.
I had to be 12 or 13 when I happened to catch, you know, and I was like,
I put him on this show.
And I was embarrassed for him.
Yeah, that's
good grief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was good on Taxi.
Yeah. You know, he always played a character named Tony.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah. Cause so he could remember who they were talking to, I think was the 1952 American author and academic Gerald Early. Happy birthday, Gerald. You don't know him?
No.
Washington University in St. Louis. We're friends on Facebook.
Oh.
Great social.
Well, you got losers like him.
No, he's not. What are you talking about?
You omit Alistair MacLean, who wrote Guns of Navarone.
Yeah.
And they said to him, listen, we want something like Guns of Navarone. What other novels you got? I don't have anything like that. He goes, well, why don't you write us one, you know.
Navarone directly. Force 10.
No.
Oh.
No, Where Eagles Dare.
Yeah.
Richard Burton.
Yes. Yes.
Would.
Yes.
Great movie.
Eagles
he wrote that.
Dare. Oh, good stuff.
And then he wrote, I didn't know this, he wrote Ice Station Zebra, too, which was.
Well, that's Howard's flick.
So Howard Hughes owes him money for that. He was in the Royal Navy. So this guy knew what he was talking about.
He's in World War II.
And one of my favorite authors who you've never heard of, the books are right there on my desk.
Okay.
I'm not going to lend them to you.
Oh.
John Mortimer.
John Mortimer.
Yeah, Rumpel of the Bailey. That's his character.
My mom loves that program.
Well, I like his books. I'm not crazy. I don't care about the program.
Yeah, I think that it's one of the...
He calls his wife, She Who Must Be Obeyed.
She Who Must Be Obeyed. That's great. Yeah.
And no, she loves his wife was an author, too.
My mother loves Rumpel.
Yeah.
Andy McDowell.
She wrote The Pumpkin Eaters, by the way.
Oh, did she?
Terrible movie. Oh, boring as hell. Albert Finney, I think, and Anne Bancroft.
Ooh.
I think
nice actors.
They think they tried to make it Bergman-esque or something.
Oh,
it's just stupid.
Yeah, and they swung and a miss, huh?
Of, you know, root canals and stuff. Teeth. I mean, just terrible. Anyway, don't see it.
1958, Andy McDowell. Fine actress, beautiful lady.
Ooh. Not my type.
You didn't like Four Weddings and a Funeral with her?
Yeah, she's fine. It's just not my type.
Not your type?
No.
What, too good looking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not too peaches and cream.
1959, Robert Smith, lead singer of The Cure. 1963, Ken Caminiti, one of the first American ball players.
What killed him, man?
Steroids.
What? Really?
It led to his, led to his demise. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. 1965, the Canadian goalkeeper, famous with the Chicago Blackhawks, also played with Dallas Stars, Ed Belfour. And in 1970, Armand, this here gentleman that you probably don't know because you don't like new movies, he's hilarious. Happy birthday, Rob Riggle.
Gentlemen, we've got some good news and we've got some bad news. The good news is we found your Mercedes.
That's great news.
That's great.
Yeah, it's over at impound right now. We picked it up at 5 a.m. this morning, parked in the middle of Las Vegas Boulevard.
That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. There's also a note. It says, couldn't find a meter, but here's $4.
That sounds like you.
The I bad wouldn't leave news $4. Is,
we can't get you in front of a judge until Monday morning.
Officer, that's just impossible. No, we need to be in L.A. tomorrow for a wedding.
You stole a police car.
We didn't steal anything. We found it.
Yeah, if anything, we deserve a reward or something, like a trophy.
I see assholes like you every day.
Every fucking day.
Let's go to Vegas. We'll all get drunk. And
yeah.
Let's steal a cop car because it'd be really fucking funny.
Yeah. Think you gonna get away with it? Not up in here.
Not up in here.
It's rather grating. Is that like one of those Vegas movies?
What it's the Hangover.
Hangover.
If you would pay any attention to modern culture, no. You'd know that's already an instant classic.
It's aptly named. I'm getting a headache.
1980. Happy birthday, Tony Romo. Your buddy, the Ocho Man, also does a good show here. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, Cowboys podcast here on lineupmedia.fm. The NFL draft is coming up. You can catch the latest episode of Cowboys podcast. It's very simple, cowboyspodcast.com.
Although I've never wanted to be on that show, I assume I'm banned from that too.
Yeah, you're banned. Yeah,
you indeed are banned. Let's get back to the events.
Let's take a look. 1975, well, Vietnam
comes to an end. Yeah.
The president of South Vietnam on this date flees Saigon, now Ho Chi Minh City, the last South Vietnamese outpost blocking the North Vietnamese assault.
I think it's the 25th, though, that they're dangling from the helicopter, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Pittman apartments. Am I correct? Pittman apartment roofs?
Sorry with me.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the end. There is no stopping the North Vietnamese from coming downstream at this point. 1975.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I remember it. A war that is lost. Remember the special of Walter Cronkite.
And the war that
he lost. There again. I mean, a million Cambodians died because of this? When you're over there, the point is when you're
Cambodians,
over there,
Laotians, Thais, Vietnamese. I mean, it decimates Southeast Asia.
Yep.
And today, Vietnam is again one of the pearls of the Orient. It's a lot like, you know,
I wouldn't want to go there.
Oh, no.
I go to Thailand.
We have associates that have been there and they cannot believe what modern Ho Chi Minh City looks like.
Okay.
Really, really developing at an incredible rate. 1982, Raleigh Fingers.
Why first, better one than that? I don't know why you put him in here.
First guy to reach the 300 save mark in Major League Baseball.
Well, 1957, Jesse Orosco's birthday. Still got the record for appearances. 1,252?
God, oh,
that's a lot of games, man.
Yeah, that's a lot of games to come in.
How'd you leave him out?
Because I don't like him.
Oh. Well, that's open-minded.
He's a New York Met.
Oh, well, that.
I don't go in for...
Let's not hold
grudges. I don't go in for the Mets. Not of that era. Uh-uh. No, sir. 1989, about 100,000 students gather on this date in Tiananmen Square to commemorate Chinese reform leader Hu Yaobang. This is not the date of the famous man in the street with the tank,
right?
But this is the day.
We'll get to that. Well, that was that lasted a while.
It did.
Well, you know, they cleaned him up, though.
And am I correct in stating the gentleman who stood in front of the tank, they still don't know what happened to him?
I think I do.
We can make an assumption.
Yeah, I think he's caught in a tank tread somewhere.
No, he wasn't run over. Remember, he
was not on camera.
Not on. I always wondered.
I think he was probably rehabilitated.
We have a picture of that here in our office, and he's holding a bag. And I always wondered, what's in the bag?
His lunch.
Oh, it could be.
Sucky yaki.
Could be. 1992. This is a nice date. We love science on this day in history.
Yeah.
The discovery of the first extrasolar planets. That means a planet not in this solar system.
I think our listeners
Hope so.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Well,
See, it's that disdain you have for our listeners.
My disdain?
No, my disdain is for you.
Well, that's true. But anyway, it's announced by the astronomers Alexander Wolsonsk. Help me. You're better at the Slavic pronunciations.
Wolshan, I guess.
Wolshan?
A lot of vowels there.
And this is a good name. Dale Frail.
I like that one better.
And when your name rhymes, it's kind of cool. Dale Frail.
I bet he got beat up as a kid.
Probably did.
Physicist.
So they discover two planets that are actually not orbiting a sun, but a pulsar.
Which is?
PSR 1257 plus 12. Why the plus 12?
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, I was wondering if...
Okay. It might have something to do with its period, you know, because that's what a pulsar is. A very rapidly spinning remnant of a star, either a white dwarf or a neutron star.
Okay.
Which we all know is from the collapse of a major star into this incredibly dense spinning material, and it spins, and it's actually the spin of these things as it's accreting from another star or something. It blows off radiation, and that's why they call it. It's like a pulse, and the pulse is actually more accurate than even an atomic clock. You can tell, you know, it's probably the most accurate timepiece in the universe.
Wow! So it's like the universe's watch.
Yeah, that's what they use it for sometimes. These pulsars.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because the stuff spewed out when it faces the Earth. It gives a pulse.
So 25 years ago, we got our first two known.
Yeah, I didn't believe it.
You didn't believe it?
And I'll tell you one thing. One of the planets, they're A, B. I think one's called Poltergeist. They actually gave names.
Yeah.
One's Poltergeist. I don't know what the other one's like. Yeah, real imaginative. But A, I believe, is still the smallest extrasolar planet they found. It's like twice as big as the moon. Pretty small. But once they get that, you know, once they get that web telescope, they'll find all kinds of shit.
Oh, you can't imagine what's coming, can you?
I don't know. I hope I live to see it.
No, you're good. I mean...
I know you want to live on one of these places.
I want to get off this rock. That is my goal.
There's no Giordano's pizza in Mars.
That's true. There's not. But you could have the whole concession for Mars. Think of the money, Armand.
The water's too saline.
The Olympus Mounds location of Giordano's Pizza.
Can't get the crust to rise.
Giordano's Sea of Tranquility.
You can't even get the right water west of the Mississippi, apparently, for that pizza. You can get it on Mars?
Lime in the water west of the Mississippi for that?
What, are you going to make it like Matt Damon did in that dumb movie?
It wasn't a dumb movie. The Martian was a fine movie. Engineering in the movie was very...
A dumb star.
Oh,
I don't like him.
Yeah, so the whole movie's dumb,
a little grunt.
Right? The whole movie's dumb. All right, let's see who died.
Match.
Let's see who died.
A lot of biggies died.
Yeah, we do. We got a big one right off the bat. 19.
Well, wait a minute. First, I know you're going to omit this because you're not a romantic guy at all. Of course, that comes from being married.
It's true.
Yeah, that'll quash any romantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter Abelard died in 1142. Do you know who this guy was?
Peter Abelard.
The greatest lovers of apparently.
What, better than Casanova?
Well, no, that's not, this guy was constant to Peter Abelard and Heloise. Heloise and Abelard, remember?
No.
You never heard that story, the famous lovers?
Nope. What
and her dad didn't like him, so he castrated him, and he went to be out a priest. She went to be a nun. Yeah.
Oh.
Heloise and Abelard.
Oh.
It's like the greatest love story
Don't
of all time.
Don't say that word.
Yeah. Anyway, he died today.
Oh. Castrated.
Yep.
How did his dad get a hold of him to do that?
Hey, you got money, you can do anything. Oh, we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That's brutal.
So you can buy a baby and you can rip a guy's balls.
Oh, God.
Now you may proceed.
1910? There's where I want to start.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, 1910, now you missed Jean Racine.
Did I?
Famous French playwright.
What did he write, Armand?
Phèdre and Dramique.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, who we all know is one of the Trojan women. He's pretty good. I mean, he's no Shakespeare, although the French, of course, think he is.
Yeah, I was going to say, who is the French equivalent? Well, do they really have one?
Racine
is it this
or Corneille, Pierre Corneille or okay. Jean Racine, one or the other, or both. You know, Victor Hugo, you know, they'll give you a whole litany of writers that are better than Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. Candide in that list?
Well, that's Voltaire.
Oh, Voltaire, I mean, Voltaire with Candide in that list.
Anybody, you know.
Yeah.
They're French.
Flaubert?
Gustave Flaubert?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Madame
Bovary.
Can I say 1910 now?
Now you can, yeah.
Mark Twain, the novelist, humorous critic, passes away.
Goes out with
Halley's Comet, which he came in with, Halley's Comet.
Played by Frederick March in the movie.
You got a favorite Twain work?
Probably Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Because of its...
I like it. It's funny.
It's funny.
I like all this stuff. All this stuff's funny.
Do you think Huck Finn is...
It's not my favorite. I mean, it's a great novel, I guess. But
I've often heard this said, Armand, that... You know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, we'll really still only be talking about two books in America, Moby Dick and Huck Finn.
Well, I'd rather read Huck Finn than Moby Dick any day, but that's not real hard competition. I don't know. It's the greatest American novel, supposedly. I don't think it's that great, but I think he did better.
Which book would you say is better? Life on the Mississippi?
No, I just said.
You like
Connecticut and Yankee.
Yeah.
King Arthur's Court.
It's not a big book like Huck Finn, though.
Well, it's 300 pages or so.
Big
enough.
No.
Well, get large print.
I don't mean big in that way.
What do you mean?
The scope of story.
Oh, the spectacle's not enough for you. Huh?
No.
Had an eclipse and everything.
Well, that's true.
Well, who do you think's bigger? What's more spectacle? Merlin the magician or Joe the slave or Jim?
Jim?
Jim the slave.
It's not Jim the slave.
Well, Jim the Escape Slave.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was good. They're both. Read anything by him. But my favorite is where he, and this is only like a couple pages, where, remember we were talking about how he has that critique of James Fenimore Cooper?
Yes.
I love that. That's
Say it again.
Funny.
Say it again. Because I can't remember it word for word.
What it's called?
Yes.
I'll look. You go ahead.
Because
it should be read.
I mean, Fenimore Cooper is a great writer.
He burns him bad.
He burns him, though. 1918, of course, we mentioned already the Red Baron, Manfred von Richthofen. 1946, John Maynard Keynes passes away.
Oh, Keynes. Although I don't care if you mispronounce him.
I knew you wouldn't.
I hate this bastard.
Oh, I know you do.
Yeah, Fenimore Cooper's literary offenses.
Yeah, that's literary offenses.
Yeah. Okay, now this guy's economic offenses offend me. This is the guy, okay, well, I've discussed him. If you want to read, first of all, I have really tried to understand this dude.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you know, if you try to read, now the consequences of the peace, I guess he was pretty much right on the money on that one. So he was at Versailles, got pissed off and left.
Yeah.
Because nobody's listening to him because everybody's out there to get the Germans.
Sure.
And he's saying, take it easy on him because.
Yeah, it's going to come back on you.
It's going to haunt
us. The boomerang effect is going to happen.
But so he just said the hell with it and left. But, you know, this guy, he's a pervert. We know that. Mm-hmm. English aristocrat, thought he was God. He's got a God delusion. Part of the Bloomsburg group.
Yeah.
Our Bloomsbury group. And that means they're all sleeping together with.
Well, it's the Bloomsbury Literary Circle.
Yeah, well.
That was.
Yeah, it was more than literary.
No,
literary circle jerk is more like it. And, you know, he's.
Was it Virginia Woolf in that?
Yeah,
crowd?
The Wolves and her husband, and Duncan Grant, the artist, and Lytton Strachey, who was jealous of Duncan Grant because he was sleeping with John Maynard here.
Ah.
But anyway, we're not going to put all that aside.
The economics of group sex is probably what he should have written a book on at that point.
Yeah, that was their way of expressing
nothing's
freedom.
Free. Nope.
Well, sex was free.
No, sir. Uh-uh. Like, there is no free lunch. There is no free sex.
That was Milton Friedman.
There is none.
Anyway,
none.
This guy, the economic consequences of peace. This guy had some odd notions about probability, too. I don't know. But his big one, and I've tried to read this, and I dare anybody to explain it to me or to read it, not be mystified. General theory of employment, interest, and money. If you want to drive yourself nuts, read a few pages of that. So anyway.
What a recommendation.
Henry Hazlitt. Now, this is what you want. The failure of the new economics. This guy just tears him a new one. Read that book. It's on Amazon. It's on Kindle.
There you
go. Tears this bastard apart.
This Day in History Podcast.com and look for
Henry Hazlitt. Failure of the new economics.
But,
you know, just think of yourself as a politician.
I'm a politician.
And you got this crackpot coming along saying, hey, you know the best way to control booms and busts and the business cycle? More government spending. Just spend. Don't worry about the debt or anything. Just keep spending. Well, thank you, buddy. Ugh. Anyway, even Truman said, I had a quote on Truman of all people, basically said, nobody can ever convince me that government can spend a dollar that it hasn't got. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Totally makes sense.
Yeah, that's what he
That's where a lot of people are even today that are not represented any longer in this country. That is what I would call a fiscal conservative. Do not spend what you do not have.
Well, boy, you're in the wrong camp, I'll tell you that.
Right? Well, no, see, that's where you keep
that's
making...
That's all we do is spend money we don't have.
Right.
Create more.
But both sides do this.
Oh, I'm not taking any...
Exactly.
Did I mention any party?
You did not, and neither did I.
Right.
But for people...
But where did this come from? I mean, what idiot thinks this can go on forever? You talk about booms and busts, and here we are, $20 trillion in debt. And I don't hear Trump talking about it either.
Well, I don't...
He wants to spend more.
Hold on. Go back to your phrase. What idiot thinks this can go on forever? Rephrase your statement. I don't think an idiot thinks this can go on forever. I think the people who perpetuate this know that it's a boom-bust cycle that they're perpetuating.
I don't know about that.
And that they profit...
Well, they ask Keynes.
They profit from it.
Well, whatever.
This is back again, Armand. This is back to
the profits from the economy blowing up because that's what's going to happen.
This is the Jekyll Isle. You know, this is what starts.
I don't even know if they knew this was
the boom bust cycle. We've been on it for 100 years.
They just wanted to, but they wanted to control
They do, and
they want to do. I don't think even those guys would have come up with this.
They're not okay, but if you're not doing anything to stop it,
yeah. But that doesn't mean you're profiting by it. It just means you don't care. They're apathetic.
Well, okay, but then if you don't care, you're not.
But that's what Keynes said. We owe it to ourselves, so don't worry about it.
Now,
if you believe this guy, and they said,
no, I don't.
Well, what happens in the long run? And remember his famous answer?
We won't be here to worry about
it? In the long run, we're all dead.
We're all dead.
Yeah, well, that's easy. You know, that's easy if you don't have kids because you're blowing Lytton Strachey. Anyway. He did marry a ballerina. She was pretty hot.
No, there you
go. But it was more of a lavender marriage, I think.
Oh,
anyway, John Maynard Keynes.
Let me go to the next guy.
I hate his guts.
Let me go to the next
guy. Thank God he died.
Because I kind of like this next guy.
Okay.
Gummo Marx died on this date.
I'd rather have him as the economist.
Well, here's the thing. He's he's the first Marx brother to actually perform. He's the first to actually get out of the group.
Yeah. Well.
But he would go on and have a career in show business as a theatrical agent.
Yeah, him and Zeppo.
Yeah. And then he worked with Groucho on The Life of Riley and development of other TV shows. And he was an agent in Hollywood of very, very good reputation, Armand, because get this. He never signed people to contracts. He thought, if you think you can find better representation someplace else, you're going to go and leave me anyway. What do we need to do this contract for?
Okay.
Well, his name's Milton.
Milton Marks. He was born in Manhattan.
Yeah.
He
died just like a month or so before Groucho did.
Well, they never told Groucho.
Yeah, but Groucho hated his guts anyway. If you read his...
I got it.
He didn't like Zeppo or Gummo.
They never informed Groucho that his brother had died.
He would have liked it.
Well, they said it would have hastened his death, but he died 4 months later, as you say. 2003, Nina Simone passed away, American songwriter, singer. Great documentary on her on Netflix, by the way. This lady, wow, she's got pipes, Armand. If you've never heard her sing, check it out. 2010, Juan Antonio Samaranch, a modern-day pirate. He was with the Olympics.
Privateer or pirate?
Basically, he had a license to steal money. From the Olympic Committee,
a brigand,
and he would go people would bid, of course, to host the games, and he and his crew would come in and just basically.
Which games were these?
Olympic games.
Oh, I thought you meant Spain. Barcelona was last.
This
guy goes anywhere.
It's modern day piracy.
It just happens to be Spanish.
Yeah, right. I don't want to cast dispersion.
Hey, what did the English do to them? So a Spanish pirate has some sort of
justice. You get five cities to bid on hosting games that are
that stuff's all. Yeah, that,
they're going to lose
IOC,
money.
See they are so damn.
That's him.
Yeah, well, he's not the only one. The whole bunch.
That's what I said.
He'd bribe everybody.
He'd take his whole crew
and
with him.
Your economy,
and they'd all get paid off.
Yeah,
and they leave a country's economy the worse for wear afterwards.
Hell yeah. What do you think? Sochi was good news for Russia or Britain?
Sochi was funded by a Thai drug lord.
Okay, well, then that's all right.
The only Olympics that ever did a damn were the 84 games in L.A.
Yeah, nobody showed up to those. But Brazil, they're still there.
No, you're going to – it's a loser.
London was bad.
It's a loser. Don't even bid on them.
So who got 2020 now?
I don't know. I don't care.
Well, Barack tried to get it for Chicago.
He did.
That would have been wonderful.
They did. They had one of the best technical bids ever. Didn't get it. You know why?
Well, of course. Yeah.
You ever hear how Russia and Qatar got the World Cups that are coming up?
I would think it's
same thing.
Filthy lucre.
Filthy. Just walked in with envelopes.
We talked about it yesterday. We're all whores.
Absolutely.
But the thing gets me about this is that people actually may think that this is pristine or something.
No.
IOC.
No.
And that goes to say, and now that you got me on this soapbox.
Nobody thinks the IOC is pristine.
But who is? But who is? Who's untouchable, let's say? Who is unimpeachable, has unimpeachable ethics and honor? Scientists, right? You believe that crap?
No.
Okay. That's why global warming's
a
hoax.
Every show we're going to do is not going to be
true.
On global warming.
It's true until everybody gets the message.
Yeah.
These guys are getting paid
until everybody turns us off. Finally, on this date, and this is a big one, Armand. I don't know if you're a fan.
The guy had a lot of talent.
I don't know if you're a fan.
No, but
when I first heard it, it hit me like a bombshell. It really did.
Hit you like a Moab.
No, well, yeah, the mother of all bombs. And I'm not even talking about. I'm not even talking about what I'm about to play.
Ordnance air blast.
Yeah, or mother of all bombs.
Right,
which is another
for the rabble,
right, yeah.
For the uneducated.
But let's see here if I can get
all
this.
Right, make it short. We all know who it is.
It's an 18-minute track.
Oh, come on.
Hold on here. We got technical difficulties, but, you know.
Good.
We figure it out.
Thank you, God.
We figure it out. Well, you just hear that? This song has been covered so many times by so many people.
Lousy movie.
The movie's not the greatest.
Jeez.
But I tell you, Prince is passing 1 year ago. On this day.
Well, what stupid ass? He's doing drugs, right? I mean,
there's a little more to it than that.
All right, tell me. What is more? You got everything in this world to live for, and you mess around with that stuff. That's crazy. I just can't figure these guys out.
You sure you're not thinking about Michael Jackson?
No, this guy died of a drug overdose, right? They found it. They did an autopsy on him.
Yeah. And he at Paisley Park, his place in Minneapolis, born Prince Rogers Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got everything in the world going for him.
One of the best recording artists ever.
Oh, hey, I'll give you that. Guy's very popular.
You know how they say kingmaker? He was a queenmaker. He really had a penchant for writing songs for women.
He's taking fentanyl.
Yeah, that were
God, what a
that were just major, major hits.
Crazy.
I mean, if you go and look at his credits, you know, in terms
well,
of...
I'd say he's second to Jackson, I guess, in a pop.
No, he's ahead of him in terms of writing. No, in terms of writing, he's ahead of Michael Jackson.
I don't know about that.
I don't think you're aware. Michael was not a prodigious writer.
All right, well...
Prince is. You know he recorded these albums by himself?
Who was supposed to be there?
He played everything and put it together.
Oh.
Absolutely astounding.
Hey, listen, he's no Enrico Caruso.
Yeah, huh? He is. Mario. And he appreciated all forms of music, which you can appreciate.
I don't appreciate all forms. Rap is garbage.
Anything that you could throw at him, he would have known.
I just told you, the guy's very talented. I'm just saying, why do you have to do drugs? You're crazy.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. What a waste.
Yeah. And this one hit me like a bombshell when he died, because it's one of those things, like, when one of the people that you...
Well, didn't you think... I thought he had his shit together. I didn't think he was a nut like this. You know, doing taking
no,
fentanyl?
He really did have his stuff together for the majority of his career. But... Yeah, it's painful because it's a waste. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
But
dead,
you know,
I'm not denigrating
when
the guy.
Someone from your childhood or teenage years, who you spent like not just hours, I mean, but months of your life listening to,
well,
is gone.
I felt like I lost a family member when Reagan died. He was like a father to me during the 80s. Because that was my formative years. I was in college and. You know, beating up liberals.
You're gonna compare Prince to Ronald Reagan.
No, I'm just saying the impact that had.
Okay, death, so you understand
what I say about it, yeah. All I'm saying is it's a shame, but that, no artist. And I love, you know, say I like
you're
Pavarotti.
The arts. Yes.
Yeah, but nobody's. Well, James Cagney, I guess. Gene Kelly. I like the greats.
What I'm saying is when one of your childhood,
you feel like you've lost something.
Well, not only that, but you know you are now getting old.
Well, that too.
You know, and that's what hits you. You're like, oh, man. Damn.
Yeah, but it'd be different if the guy died and he was 88 years old.
Well, that's what I was hoping he'd live to.
So that, I don't have that, you know.
They're getting to the Prince, the vaults. They're going to have the Purple Rain double album, the unreleased material from
Who
it.
Who buys this stuff?
You can't imagine. You can't imagine, Armand.
Well, I'm just saying, not Prince. I'm just saying anything I want to hear, I just... Flip on YouTube.
People,
I hear it.
People will go and.
I know.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's crazy too.
I cannot wait to get it. Seriously.
You're going to pay for this.
I will pay for this one. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
That's a fine.
Oh, this guy. This guy gave me hours of enjoyment. Just.
All right.
There was a song on
you
his album.
Done the eulogy.
There was a song on his album 1999. I could only play if my parents were out of the house. Let's Pretend We're Married. Whoa, what a good song.
I got a feeling I know where the lyrics are going on that one.
But
it's not like let's argue about
this album. This album only had 9 tracks, and every one of them is perfect.
Wow.
And it concludes with this, Purple Rain.
Well, I wish it would conclude.
Nah.
Does this song ever end?
Not really. It's got one of the great endings ever.
All right, well.
All right, folks, that'll do it for us today. April 21st in the books. Thanks to Armand. Thanks to producers Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen. We'll be back with you, not on the 22nd, not on the 23rd, but April 24th will be our next show here at lineupmedia.fm. And don't forget, subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet will do. And when you do, leave us a 5-star review, if you would. Plus, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. All right, so when April 24th rolls around, we'll be here to tell you about it. Lineupmedia.fm. So long.